We would like to begin this podcast by acknowledging that the land on which we record is the occupied, traditional, and unceded territory of the Stalo First Nation.
The other thing is that as a community, they really feel empowered by the fact that they were involved in the design of this project. They were involved during the construction of the water pipeline and the rehabilitation of the natural springs. And also they are involved in managing the community water points. They are involved in ensuring that they are collecting revenue, which they use for maintenance and other repairs. You know, so they really feel empowered.
Welcome to the Ending Poverty Together podcast. I'm Shalane, and we're here to discuss big questions about poverty in bite-sized ways. Alice Kamau has been serving as the country director for FH Rwanda since 2016. She previously worked as the program director for FH in Kenya for 6 years. She has 20-plus years of experience in program and grant management, strategy development and execution, leadership development, partnership development, and advocacy. Alice is passionate about building and inspiring leaders towards a common purpose and supporting them to attain their God-given potential through mentorship and coaching. She believes in giving hope to the hopeless and restoring the dignity of vulnerable people by delivering programs that end poverty and build their resilience. Alice, thank you so much for joining on the podcast today.
Thank you too.
It's a pleasure to be able to have this conversation with you. I have had the joy of seeing you at work in Rwanda and visiting Rwanda. And so to be able to talk with you today about Bwira, FH's newest community, is so delightful because I've actually experienced it firsthand. I've been there to see it. So I'm excited to have this conversation.
I'm excited too. Thank you.
So, Alice, why don't we start by having you tell our listeners about Bwira? What is this new community that Food for the Hungry is walking with in Rwanda? What are some of the challenges? Just introduce us to the community.
Yeah, thank you so much. Bwira community is located in Gororero district of Western Province. And Bwira is actually one of the 13 sectors of Gororero district, and it is made up of five sub-communities. We started working here in October 2021, and when we went to the communities, I can say the greatest challenge that the community was facing is that they had lost hope because they were facing so many challenges. And the first one was access to safe drinking water. That was priority number one for the community. The second challenge that they were facing was the lack of enough food for their families and also low economic capacity. Bwira community is actually, it is very hilly. It has mountains. It has very steep slopes. And therefore,
oh, it sure does.
Yes, therefore, when it rains, all the good soil is washed away. So it has been a big challenge for the communities to be able to produce enough food and even extra food for marketing so that they can generate income.
One of the greatest adventures of my travel with Food for the Hungry was going up the road to Bwira. So I can imagine that transportation portion of getting to Bwira is a challenge as well.
Yeah, it is a challenge, and especially during the rainy season, communities themselves, they have to walk 4 kilometers for them to access main social amenities. But let me say that one good thing about the community is that they are so welcoming. The leaders are so eager to receive visitors. They listen to visitors. They are willing to collaborate with people who join them in this journey of development. So that is the encouragement that we have, or the encouragement that we had when we started to work with this community.
The community was very receptive, and it's exciting to hear that they continue to be receptive to walking with FH.
Sure. And FH has been one of the partners that has really agreed to live and work with the communities, because many others work there, but remotely. But for us, we decided to go and live with the communities, have our office within the communities, and work with them this journey of community transformation.
Mm-hmm. That's a really big commitment for FH staff to be actually living right in the communities in Buera.
Yeah, sure, because we believe in ending poverty together. And for us to do this, we must be able to live with the people we serve. We must be able to understand the challenges that they are facing. And we must work together with them so that we walk this journey together. And at the end of the day, we'll be able to celebrate that communities have really moved out of extreme poverty.
Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful. Alice, you mentioned when we first started chatting that access to safe water has been a huge challenge for the communities in Buera. What water project has been implemented? And I mean, maybe it goes without saying why safe water is important, but why in particular has that been such an important project for the Buera community?
Yeah, this has been a very important project for Buera community because, as you know, water is essential for life, for health, and also for human dignity. As I said, when we went to this community, they had felt like they didn't have any hope because they didn't have access to safe water for drinking. And as a result, they used to depend on dirty water. They could travel for long distances down in the valley and maybe in the wetlands to get some water. They used to spend about 1 hour and 20 minutes to get one jerrycan of 20 liters of water, which at the end of the day was not even safe for drinking. In addition, most people, especially children, could suffer from diarrhea and other stomach upsets. And this made them to frequently go to the health centers. Sometimes children could even miss school because of the health issue. So this was a big, big problem for the communities when we joined there. And this is why water is very, very critical, because they used to suffer from, you know, I would call them, you know, waterborne related diseases, which they couldn't even fully understand. And this affected their day-to-day lives, because going to school for children was not as normal. For everybody, it wasn't normal. They didn't have enough water even for cooking.
Well, and then it really spirals, doesn't it? Because if you don't have safe drinking water and you're experiencing waterborne diseases, then your health deteriorates and your capacity to work deteriorates. And then it just becomes this cycle that is so difficult to break.
Yeah, sure. And in addition to that, even the personal hygiene, because the water is limited, you give priority to cooking. You don't consider about, you know, hygiene, even washing hands during the critical times. They couldn't get water to do that. And in addition, this was also a very heavy burden, especially to children and women, because they have the responsibility of ensuring that a household has water. They could spend a lot of time getting water. So this was really a physical burden for them.
Well, and like we mentioned earlier, for someone who hasn't experienced visiting the Buera community, to say that they have to travel down to the valley to get water, that's a significant elevation change. That's a significant hike down and up to be bringing fresh water that wasn't even clean back into the community.
Yeah, sure. It wasn't easy. So you would find that they survived with, like, many households, actually, they testified that they used to survive with only one jerrycan of 20 liters per day. You can imagine a household of maybe four, five people surviving with only one jerrycan. Because the journey you take to go down there, the waiting time, and you are waiting even to get water that is not clean, that is not safe. There was a lot of waiting time to get this water into your jerrycan and then moving up again, up the hill. By the time you reach home, you are tired and you don't have any energy even to do other productive activities. And this made it worse in terms of poverty. They continued to become more poor. They continued to spend more money for treatment. They continued to have less time to do, you know, productive work, to do farming activities and others.
Right. And we're here today to talk about some change that has happened. So what has changed in the Buira communities with regard to safe water?
Wow, a lot of things have really changed. If I may speak on behalf of the communities, what I see today is different. There's a lot of self-esteem among the communities. They actually feel cared and they feel that they are valued. The fact that they have access to, you know, safe water. This has brought, has raised their self-esteem. The other thing is that as a community, they really feel empowered by the fact that they were involved in the design of this project. They were involved during the construction of the water pipeline and the rehabilitation of the springs, the natural springs. And also they are involved in managing the community water points. They are involved in ensuring that they are collecting revenue, which they use for maintenance and other repairs. You know, so they really feel empowered. Yes.
So can you tell me just a little bit about how this all came together? I heard you say natural springs and pipeline. Can you describe what the project has been?
Yeah, thank you. The project that we implemented targeted one community, Ruhidanje, Ruhidanje community. It is one of the five communities that make Buira area program. And the project was able, together with the communities, they were able to identify some natural water springs that existed. And these springs were not protected. So, of course, the water coming from these springs was dirty. So this project was able to protect these natural water springs, three of them, protect them. And then it was able to draw water through gravity, through a pipeline, which was taken to the communities to a distance of 5 kilometers. And along the pipeline.
5 kilometers?
Yes. And along the pipeline. We were able to establish 6 water community points. This is where the communities work and they get the safe water. And during this process, the community was involved from the beginning. They formed a water management committee that is in charge of this pipeline and that makes sure that the pipeline is working well, that everybody is paying as the amount they agreed to pay for, to ensure that there is sustainability of this project.
I love the community involvement piece. This isn't something that is imposed on people externally. It's something that people within the community are participating in, and no wonder their sense of self-worth has increased because they have this incredible project to be so proud of.
Yeah, sure. In terms of ending poverty, unless we involve the people who are affected by poverty, we cannot make any headways. It has to start with people themselves. They have to recognize, yes, we are poor, but we have other strengths. God has gifted us with other talents. We are healthy. We can do the work. We are, yes, so it starts with the community realizing that, yes, we are facing this problem, and yes, we have these strengths, these assets, and we can use this in order to help ourselves come out of the situation that we are in. So that is the process that we take our communities through, and by taking them through this process, they are actually able to take lead in ending poverty. They are able to take lead. They are able even to identify their priorities. They are able to identify the people who will be involved in different activities. They are able to identify even the most vulnerable. And we are able to move this together in this journey of ending poverty.
Mm-hmm. So you have mentioned a few ways that children and families and the communities have benefited from this water project. What are some other ways that you have seen the community grow and develop because of their access to clean water?
Yes, yes, there are many ways. Actually, even for mm-hmm. children, let me add that children now, they are attending school more regularly and they have more time to do their homework. So there is a lot of high expectation that even the performance of children will improve mm-hmm. over the years. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the communities themselves, let me say that women have benefited most because they used to spend a lot of time fetching water. But now they have time to attend trainings, especially the trainings that are offered by Food for the Hungry, most of them being trainings on improved farming practices and farming techniques. Mm-hmm. And they also have time to apply these techniques in their farms.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing so, they have testified that they are able to produce enough food for their families and even to have excess food for marketing. They have also testified that most of them, they are able to establish kitchen gardens because they have now additional wastewater from their kitchen.
Right.
And by establishing kitchen gardens, this has made them to have access to vegetables throughout the year. And this helps them to ensure that they are preparing balanced diet for their children. So they are testifying that our children are doing much better.
Well, I'm just wondering if you could, can you just describe what a kitchen garden is? Because I've had the privilege of seeing it, but many of our listeners might not know what you mean by that.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, let me try to explain. Okay, a kitchen garden is just a small garden that is put outside your kitchen or outside your house. And this this garden is mainly used for growing vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And you grow these vegetables throughout the year because you use the water that comes from the kitchen. So it means that if you have more water in the kitchen, it means that you also have more wastewater from the kitchen. So this wastewater, you use it every day to water the small garden that you have outside your house.
Mm.
And this small garden can be able to provide you vegetables throughout the year, even when it is dry, when there are no vegetables in the main farms or in the main garden.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And as somebody who lives in Canada, where the growing season is actually quite limited, it's fascinating and so lovely to know that these vegetables can be grown year-round and they can provide that balanced, healthy diet for families all throughout the year.
Sure. And you know, this also saves time for the woman, because she doesn't have to go far to go to the market looking for vegetables. She'll just pick the vegetables from just outside and cook them.
Mm-hmm.
And this again creates more time for the woman to be able even to go to participate in other social events, to participate in saving groups. And generally women and also the community, they have reported that because of water, they are able to get even more income and to make more savings. And when we ask them how they use these savings, actually they say that the first priority is for the education of their children, and the second one is on renovation of their houses.
Okay, the renovation of the houses.
Yes.
So that was actually going to be my next question for you, is how has this project contributed to poverty reduction? And you're already starting to talk about some of those ways with income generation and some renovations. Tell me more.
Yeah, thank you. This project, the fact that people are not getting sick as often as they used to get sick, it means they are able to make some savings. And this savings is being invested in different areas. As I said, one of them is it is invested in the education of their children. And the other one is that people are renovating their houses. They are replacing with the iron sheets. They are making it better so that they can live in a better environment. Now that they already have water and they have improved their personal hygiene, they also want to improve their houses. In addition, we can say that generally there's also this awareness of environmental conservation, given that people have known that these natural water springs, they can actually be our source of clean water or save water. So that awareness is there, and it has actually enabled communities to start already these measures and also intensify the soil and water conservation activities. As I said, Bwira is really mountainous. It is very hilly with very steep hills. And for them to be able to get good harvest or good productivity from their farms, they have to invest a lot on soil and water conservation activities. So now that the burden of getting water has reduced, we see communities are investing in these soil conservation activities, and this again is increasing their productivity, the farm productivity. And let me also say that we have also a few communities that are starting to engage in off-farm activities, income-generating activities for themselves. And again, this is a way of trying to diversify their livelihood sources. And by diversifying their livelihood sources, they will be able to fight poverty.
Can you tell me how, I'm just so intrigued by the soil and preventing the erosion. This is one of the sort of next steps that's come after the access to more water. What does that look like in Bwira? How is that actually being implemented?
The way it is being implemented is that, you know, soil and water conservation cannot be done by just individuals. It has to take a catchment approach. And by catchment, I mean like one hill. People residing in one hill, they must work together for them to be able to achieve the soil and water conservation. So they use a catchment approach where households living in one hill, they all work together. And they put terraces that cut across their farms, continuous terraces that cut across their farms. And in these terraces, they also plant napier grass, which mainly goes to feed their livestock. And also it also works as a break, you know, to erosion. And this requires some support, of course, technical support and food for the hungry. We are supporting them with the technical support because they have to know the distances between the terraces, the gradient. So it has many technical requirements in the way they do it. So community themselves, they do the work, but as an organization, we help them with the technical aspects. So we just mobilize them, we measure. We put for them, we measure where they are going to put the terraces, we mark, and then for them, they come and do the terraces.
So that might be one of the trainings that you referred to earlier, that there would be training on how to create these terraces and how much distance needs to be between them, and so that the entire hillside can work together. It's, again, to me, it's another beautiful example of how the community is coming together to make changes for everyone.
Yeah, sure, sure. You know, when you don't have water, you know, an essential for life, then the priority goes to water. But when you spend less time in getting water, so now they have more time to attend the trainings, they have more time to practice what they have been trained. And this is where what we find them doing. And this, as you said, it's a real empowerment because community is in charge of their what they are doing, their future. They can see that we can be able to control these, you know, to control or even minimize the soil and water erosion,
which will increase their crop yields, which will increase their income, which will help with poverty reduction in that material sense.
Yeah, sure, sure. And even for the fodder, I said they grow fodder crops also as a way of controlling soil and water conservation. This fodder, again, goes to feed their livestock. And when they have enough fodder for their livestock, there's, again, high production of milk, you know. The pigs are doing well. Again, this, again, translates again to income. Yes.
Right. Yes, when your pigs are doing well, that's right. Translates to income. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I heard you say that this water project is in one of five communities. Is that correct?
Yes.
Within Buera?
Yes, we did it in one of the five communities. But this year, we are also doing another project in another community.
Okay.
It has already started.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes, and that's what I wanted to hear about, is this expanding, and will it eventually be in all five of the communities?
Eventually, we shall be able to cover all five communities. And let me also let you know that in two of the communities, the government has also decided to bring in water. And this is because communities feel empowered. Communities, they are advocating for issues because they realize, we can advocate. So this is so good. By end of this year, we'll have water access in two out of the three communities. And government has also committed to do two more communities. So I guess we'll just be remaining with one community.
Yes. Oh, that is very exciting. And thank you for sharing about the advocacy piece, because that's such a very specific and practical example of how people feel empowered and how this has changed so much more than only having healthy water to drink or clean water to drink. The implications are so far reaching.
They are. And for me, I would say that is one of the greatest achievements we have made in Buera. Because right now, the community has also advocated for improvement of their roads. So far, the government has committed to construct roads. They have not reached Buera community, but they are in the neighboring community. So in the next 2 years or so, we think that there will be improvement of the road system and the road network within Buera. It might not be perfect, but there will be improvement.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exciting to hear, because those roads are a challenge. And I experienced them in the dry season. I can only imagine how treacherous they would be for people trying to get to the community in the rainy season.
Yeah. This is a great challenge. And actually, we together with the communities, we made them aware that now that they are putting a lot of effort in improving their farming practices, it means the farm productivity will increase. How are they going to market their farm produce?
Right.
Are they just going to be waiting so that people can come, maybe middlemen, brokers can just come to their farms and buy at a very low price where they cannot be able to negotiate? And this is why they are now advocating for better roads, so that they can be able to take their produce, farm produce, to the market and be able to negotiate for the prices.
Mm-hmm. What a beautiful picture of how one project impacts the entire community in so many ways. Alice, our time is actually coming to a close here. I'm surprised it's gone so fast. Is there anything else that you wanted to share with me today about Buera or about what's happening in Rwanda with FH in general?
Not really. I didn't have anything else. I think today we just wanted to to talk about Buera, the good things that are happening, and the fact that, we through one project, just the water project, but the outcome, the impact is so huge. It's basically, a wake-up call for the communities. So for us, we are really impressed, because we see in even other activities, the turn-up for people is quite high. Because people have water, they're turning up. People have seen that, so we can change our situation. So they are ready to change the situation. So it's really encouraging. And we are very optimistic that in this journey of ending poverty, Buera community is going far, Maybe the only thing I can say is that on behalf of Buera community and on behalf of Food for the Hungry, we are very grateful to all the donors who have made it possible for us. We really thank you. We thank you on behalf of the Buera communities.
Well, thank you for that, Alice. I have to say thank you for your work, and thank you for allowing us to participate with you. Because if I've learned anything in my time with Food for the Hungry, this is about partnership. It's about collaboration, and it's about many different people in many different places coming together and seeing poverty reduced. And in some cases, just it's absolutely mind-boggling to me to see how communities can go from being so stuck to thriving and to really flourishing. So thank you for your part. Thank you for being the country director for FH Rwanda. And thank you so much for joining me today.